99 tomorrow, near 100 on Friday. Richard Wedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 78 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Good morning. Welcome in to the Thursday edition of Inside the Locker Room. Scrimmage Day. Are we excited about Scrimmage Day? I'm more excited about the FedEx playoffs starting today, which all 70 golfers will play all weekend. So no cut this weekend. Download the app. Get the Tide 100.9 app. Get that on your smartphone. You can take us with you anywhere you go. If you want to email us, I tell you this every day, wimpandbarry@yahoo.com. Phone number is always 205-342-9904. Yellowwood makes it all possible. Pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If you want to build the five-star backyard, then Yellowwood would be your only choice there. Chase, if I'm the dealer closest to you, go to yellowwood.com. And remember, if it doesn't have that yellow tag on it, then you don't want it. JC will join us at the bottom of the hour, second hour wide open tomorrow. Dad got us Roman Harper, 7:30, and then we'll have David Kendra to finish up the week with the Bryant Bank segment. Good morning, Chase. How are you, sir? You good? Thumbs up from Chase. Dad, how are you this morning?
I'm doing okay, I guess. Several things that I'd like to mention. Barry has already mentioned St. Jude, which is my favorite, because it does so much for kids that have defects and parents can't afford to do much. Starts today, and I'll tell you the schedule real quick on that. Jackson plays at 7:10, the kid from Auburn, Kobe. Scotty plays at 8:30, JT plays at 9:35, and Bud Colley plays at 12:15. So if you want to watch those guys, you certainly can. I think it'd be good. Jimmy Dill, who, when I went to Alabama, was on the national championship team in 1961 and 64, lost his life, passed away yesterday. He's a very good businessman and really a guy who really did a great job for Coach Bryant. When Coach Bryant came to Alabama in 1958 or 9, whatever it was, but Jimmy passed away yesterday at age 84, and sure hate that. Of course, we've already talked about Kermit Davis passing away yesterday. Therefore, yesterday. CBS, no really big deal. CBS picks Ohio State, Oregon, Notre Dame, Texas, Georgia, and Indiana as the five best teams in football. And they kind of lumped the SEC teams together. They put LSU 10, Ole Miss 11, and Alabama, forget who it was, at 12, and 13 was Alabama. I think maybe it was Tennessee. Anyway, that they were kind of lumped together. And so that's the way it is. We welcome your calls. If you have calls, the vote about the bill that's going to the Senate will be voted on before recess. And you can call Barry and tell him whether you think it's going to pass or not pass. I'll stay with my opinion that I think it's going to pass. Most people think it's not going to pass. So we'll see what happens there, but the vote will be by the Senate before recess, and we'll see there. Outside of that, that's about all before we start kicking it off for these games, and we welcome your calls.
Big news coming out of Baton Rouge, Chase. Your Tigers, you got some dissension over there.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels, who won the Heisman Trophy, wore number 5, and I think Jaden Daniels, I don't see how you retire football jerseys, number one, because you got so many players, you're going to have duplicate numbers. But I think he thought his number was going to get retired. Well, Chase, DJ Pickett is now wearing number 5. So Jane Daniels and his family are felt disrespected. They sent a cease and desist letter, so do not use his name anymore for name, image, and likeness. Lane Kiffin has said that, hey, there's nothing I can do. The kid was it was before I got here. The kid was promised number 5 in recruiting. When he got here, you wear number 5. Number 5 wasn't available. It's available now. Did you ever promise a number to somebody, Dad, that maybe there was somebody? I don't know that there was anybody's number retired when you were coaching at Alabama that came through and they retired their number. But are you kidding me, Jay? Come on. I mean, and here's the thing. I'm going to tell you right now. It's going to turn into race because Joe Burrow's number 9 has not been used since Joe Burrow left. So I think that's even more disrespectful. But I don't know that Jaden Daniels would have, but it was promised in recruiting. If you promise it in recruiting, do you have to go through it with it if you weren't the staff that promised it?
Yeah, I don't think so. You know, the great running back from LSU that ended up being a dentist, his number will be retired. They're going to retire one. They ran that punt back for a touchdown. But anyway, that was a long time ago. So I don't know. You can stir that up as much as you want to, and it is what it is. People, you know, time eases everything over the years. It just does. And people pass away and things change. And just like, you know, if Coach Bryant, all these people could wake up and see millions of dollars going to quarterbacks and $800,000 going to a running back, they couldn't believe, they wouldn't be able to believe. So I don't know.
Yeah, so I'm reading on here. Obviously, LSU's policy regarding jerseys being retired, which is prohibited on its athletic department website, states that any number retired after January 1, 2007 does not preclude a current student athlete in that sport from wearing the jersey number in that or any other sport. I just don't think in football, I think it's a bad precedent. You start retiring numbers, next thing you know, you're going to run out of numbers. Is there any number? Somebody let me know. Is there any number for Alabama football? I don't think there's a number retired, is there? Sometimes they'll retire the jersey, but not the number. I can't think of a number that's been retired.
I don't think Joe would have come close. I don't know. I can't remember what I can't remember what Joe's number was. 5, I think. I'm not sure.
He's 12.
It was.
Come on.
12. Yeah, 12. That's right.
That's disrespectful to Joe Willie.
I didn't miss it by 7.
Chase, that's disrespectful to Joe Willie. He called his number 5. Nobody knows Joe Willie wore a number 12.
I don't know what Bart Starrs was, but they all retired his.
Yeah, so anyway, that's your controversy over in Baton Rouge now, but Lane Kiffin is not on social media anymore, Chase, so he will not be able to tweet about it. So, do y'all like Lane Kiffin not being on social media? Chase is saying
yes.
I
don't think the media likes it.
Oh, you know they don't like it. There's no stories coming out of there. Knox talked him into getting off of Knox. Knox talked him into getting off of social media. If you were a college football program, would you recruit Knox if you had to deal with Lane? Or do you think Knox would just go to LSU? Is Knox that good, Chase? Is he any good?
I don't know.
Chase saying he's over there looking puzzled. I don't think Chase wants to talk to us this morning. Knox Kiffin. Is Knox any good, Chase?
He's okay. He's not too bad. He's good, but it's not like
he's not like an SEC quarterback. Is he an SEC quarterback?
Not there yet.
So, all right.
Barry, I would like to announce to you that there was $1 billion won in the jackpot.
Funny you say that.
A single ticket worth $1.
Jenny, because Jenny, my lovely wife, one of their nurses was going over, so they all pitched in. for her to buy lottery tickets. So there's like four of them. And I was like, Jenny, you should have just bought your own, honey. Like if that girl wins and you're in there with three other people, there's going to be the biggest fight about who gets the money, this, that, and the other. So she played. They had somebody go to Mississippi, and I got to call her to break, tell her to check a ticket. If she won, I won't be here for the second hour.
You won't be here forever. single ticket wins $1 million, a billion. How much is a billion? How many millions?
A lot. It's more than one. It's 1 million more than 999 million.
Great day, and no more for a dollar.
But Jenny, that she went in with other people. I don't want to be splitting this billion. I got to call her. I got to get to break and call her and see if we won. All right, I'll let you know. If I'm not here, we won. You listen to Tide 100.912. Some people say, God, I hope he wins. Well, I hope I do too. 12:38 WTBC is the home of Alabama sports.
Here's what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good morning. Here's one of the top stories we're following for you this hour. The Alabama Community College System is launching a massive statewide broadband expansion. It is designed to bridge the rural digital divide, modernize workforce training, and upgrade Shelton State Community College, Bevel, and other community colleges around the state. The collaboration will link all 24 of Alabama's community college and technical schools to a high-speed fiber optic network by the end of next year. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more news on Hartley Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We are moving right along, but starting to thicken up just a bit in the area for your rush to work. Traveling up in Northport, the usual on 69 North, or make that southbound 69, right at Union Chapel Road. And we've also got some extensive road construction here at Union Chapel, closing a big stretch of it right there at 69. Now, in the meantime, you move.
Liberty Mutual, and they'll customize your auto and home insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
9,000. That's 900-9000 for a free consultation. No fees unless we win. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than that of other lawyers.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that. Whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio, you are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. A dangerous heat wave building across the region here that'll stay with us all the way into late next week. Heat advisory in place here this afternoon. Sunshine, dangerously hot. 96 heat index values around 105 and a light west breeze. Partly cloudy, muggy tonight, low 77. Scorching heat intensifies Thursday and Friday. Sunny skies, 99 tomorrow, near 100 on Friday. Richard Wedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 79 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Breaking news, bold opinions, and pure Crimson Tide spirit. Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome back. Unfortunately, Jenny didn't know this, but the ticket... One of my buddies texted me, but Chase looked it up as well. Quincy, Illinois is where the ticket was bought. Do you know anybody in Quincy, Illinois?
I've been to Quincy when I was recruiting.
Where's Quincy?
Illinois, when we didn't work taking minority kids, I recruited Illinois real hard. Quincy, Illinois, yeah.
Well, where is Quincy? Where is Quincy, Illinois?
Oh, I want to say it. I'm not sure exactly. I got the guys in Effingham. I got some of the guys still there. One of the boys in T-Town. I got a couple in Teutopolis. I'm not sure. What.
Chase, if you hit the lottery, would you be here tomorrow if you'd hit it at a billion?
I'm going on the face of the earth.
Yeah, you wouldn't think you would have just left us here with nobody to produce the show tomorrow?
You got other producers here.
How much income tax is that, Barry?
I don't. Probably. You probably have to give them $500 million, I would guess. You want to lump some?
$500 million income tax?
Well, you got a billion. Don't they take half?
Well, what you got to do is you got to go real quick and buy something so you won't have to pay the income tax.
Or start giving some to your kids that you can do that. All right, to the Yellowwood Hotline. Philip, would you call this show tomorrow if you hit the billion-dollar lottery?
Oh, hell no.
Why, Philip?
Well, no, I would come up to Tuscaloosa. I tell you what I'd do. I would take y'all out to eat, you and Tom and Coach and Michael Southern. We'd go have a good breakfast at the Waysider. I'd buy me a game day condominium right off the bat.
We're going to get us a chef. We're going to get us a chef.
Philip, what kind? When you did that, what kind of tip would you leave?
Oh, I'd leave a good one. I mean, I'd make that waitress's day. I would go to see the Tuscaloosa Toyota, too, right after that. But
really? You get a Toyota? You get a Toyota if you win a billion?
Yeah.
He'd buy the whole company.
Nice.
I would have a good time with that. But I know if I lived in Quincy, Illinois, I wouldn't be living that much longer.
Heck no. No. I don't even know where Quincy, Illinois is, but
I think it's in Southern Illinois.
I just leave the house, the kids, and everything.
Down near St. Louis, Southern Illinois, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think it is too. Sure. I know one thing. The first thing I wondered if I had any relatives in Quincy, but anyway, that was something else. But good for them. Good for them. I hope they enjoy it and use the money.
What would you do to that ticket? Like if you looked at it and you're holding it, and all of a sudden you get the numbers are right. Like what would you do with it? I mean.
But there, I don't know what I'd do. I mean,
you take it to the local gas station and cash it in.
You go to the state office and I enjoy playing Cash Four and Fantasy Five and all that. I like to play those. They're fun to play, and I don't play that often, but that's what I like to do. I know the stations in West Point, Georgia were packed the other day buying those damn things. But
yeah, once again, it's embarrassing that we don't have a lottery in Alabama. It's embarrassing.
Pay for my daughter's college.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Well, maybe Turbo will get it in.
We'll see. He's too worried about the College Sports Act. Let's get a lottery. That's what we need to worry about.
I think the bill y'all talked about, the Save College Sports Act, my feeling is right now I don't think it's going to pass. I think this breaking for the recess slowed up a lot of momentum. I know they're going to try to lay it out on the table as soon as they get back in September, but I believe in rally killers and momentum killers, and I think this break was a momentum killer.
Well, it's good for radio, so I'll go the other way.
They keep saying all these things they added in there. I have no idea what they're talking about, what they've added in there. Why are people adding things in there that don't know crap about college athletics?
That's politics.
Yeah.
That's
you think when Brett Bielema learned that the lottery was won in Illinois, he's trying to find out if that whoever won it went to the University of Illinois? I bet he's researching fast. He could probably help in recruiting.
He didn't get any money in Arkansas.
No, I'm talking about Brett Bielema. If that guy graduated from Illinois, he's going to have them pour a little NIL money in there. That recruiting will pick up. We got to catch Indiana.
Yeah. Northwestern got $35 million.
They're still Northwestern. Ain't nobody going there.
Well, I know this too, Barry. Our conversation changes a little bit after today. We'll be getting into the scrimmage stuff that's going to be spilling out tonight by like crazy. And so the conversation will change tomorrow a little bit, won't it?
Yeah, I just think people, they take a scrimmage and they're going, nobody's going to see it, but they're going to have sources. And then there's sources, they're going to tell them that this, and they're going to overanalyze the scrimmage. Who knows? Like in a scrimmage, and of course we coach basketball, so your players are playing offense and defense. I mean, these coaches, like, man, we're going to get this offense there. But do they let them really blitz and do all the different things that you have to do? And can the offense, I mean, do these guys really competing against one another where Ryan Grubb wants to kick Womack's butt? Or are they just trying to soft pedal it? What is a scrimmage really like in college football is what I want to know.
I don't know how they'll do it. You know, that's anybody's guess, because I, you know, the guys that do the podcast can probably tell you how they do it, because I do. Wyatt can probably be the guy for that.
Well, they ain't gonna let Wyatt out there to watch that scrimmage. But I don't know if they say, all right, it's going to be generic. We're not gonna blitz, or we're gonna play all. Do they let the defense play whatever defense they want? Can they play man? Can they play press coverage? Can they play zone? What, you know, can you blitz? I know you're not gonna hit the quarterback. I get that, but the rest of it.
I'll give both of you a nugget that you probably already know. Of the six teams, the three in the Big Ten, the three in the SEC, the easiest. I'm in the schedule business, as you know. The toughest schedule of those six is Ohio State. The easiest schedule of those six, in my opinion, is Indiana.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking about conference schedule and all. I'm not talking about non-conference wise. Ohio State has to play Texas and Southern Cal. I studied it, but conference wise. Georgia does not play Texas or Texas A&M.
They gotta go to Tuscaloosa. They gotta go to Tuscaloosa.
I know.
Georgia doesn't play Texas.
Yeah, they do. I think
they do. I'm sorry.
I'm looking here. I got one of those schedule things like these realtors put out. If I could have any suggestion, these realtors, you got to make the names bigger. I can't see the names on these things. You got to have. I know I need. No, they don't play Texas. Georgia doesn't play Texas. Georgia's not.
I didn't think
you
did.
I told you. They got Ole Miss.
They got to go to Ole Miss. They got to go to South Carolina.
You guys that listen to me now, I got the schedule down pat.
And they
got
to go to Alabama. That's why everybody's picking Georgia to win it.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah. Georgia's going to win the thing in the SEC, and Ohio State's got a tough schedule on the other side, and the Big Ten champion is going to be Indiana. They only got one game against any of the other good teams. That's Oregon.
Yeah, but they're going to have
Oregon at home.
They have to win the Big Ten championship game. I don't know.
Just hold on and say, give me credit.
All right, we'll give you credit.
Barrett, you have that Georgia schedule pulled up?
Yeah, I got a schedule thing in here from. I don't want to tell you it's from, but I got a schedule thing. What you want to know? I'm going to call it out, and then we got to get to break. Tennessee State, Western Kentucky, at Arkansas, W. Oklahoma at home, W. Vanderbilt at home, W. At Alabama, we'll question mark that one. They got Auburn at home, Florida in Atlanta, at Ole Miss, Missouri at home, at South Carolina, and Georgia Tech, 11-1, They might run that schedule.
They might. I think I picked them to go 12-0.
They're gonna run that schedule. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right, Phil.
All right, Gary. Thank y'all.
We already just learned if you won the billion, we wouldn't be talking to you again. So
I call you. I might be slightly intoxicated.
Thank for God you didn't win it. All right. Well, actually, we wanted you to because you'd have bought us something. All right, we'll get to break here. Sorry, Randy and Tom. Call us back. We're wide open the second hour. We listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC is the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We are moving right along, but starting to thicken up just a bit in the area for your rush to work. Traveling up in Northport, the usual on 69 north, or make that southbound 69, right at Union Chapel Road. And we've also got some extensive road construction here at Union Chapel, closing a big stretch of it right there at 69. Now, in the meantime,
just go to US Mobile subreddit. Just search for US Mobile and make a decision for yourself. If you're ready, visit usmobile.com.
Consumer Reports does not endorse products or services.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From Great Southern, if it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want to get to the Yellowwood hotline and get in there. Good friend JC. JC, you don't happen to live in Quincy, Illinois, do you? I know you're in Illinois. Are you in Quincy by any chance?
No. Quincy's many moons from here.
Do you know what happened in Quincy last night?
I did not. Was there a tornado? Because
No.
It knocked power out of my house.
No, somebody in Quincy, Illinois, hit the $1 billion lottery last night. So I was hoping it was you.
You know, I've noticed in our state, this is not my state. I'm just here temporarily because of my wife. But in this state, I've noticed they do have an abnormal number of lottery winners. And I wonder if, Chicago's got a little bit of a reputation. So I kind of wonder about that sometimes. But, somebody at the gas station right beside my mother-in-law's house hit one for $1.5 million one day.
But this is a billion. This was a billion, JC.
That's good.
I told Dad, Brett Bielema was saying, God, I hope this person's an Illinois graduate and loves football.
Man, he's probably fired up about it. He's on the line now. In that part of the state, there's probably all Illinois is downstate a little bit. So Chicago, there's a lot of alums, but there's a lot of Iowa people and a ton of Notre Dame people. I don't know that Illinois even has the biggest fan base in Chicago, but downstate, it's all Illini.
Well, we were hoping you had some tie to Quincy and maybe you were over there yesterday or something.
Well, I probably wouldn't be on with y'all today if that was.
You'd have given us one last show, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but not the day after I won the lottery, man. I think I'd be in Vegas somewhere.
There'd be some buzzards flying around your house, I'm sure. So, anyway.
Yeah, I'd be changing my phone number.
Yeah. Carrie Rich would be calling you. You know that.
So. They need it. I'd pick up for him.
There you go. Dad, go ahead.
JC, give us, because I think I'm on the opposite side of you a little bit on this one. Most time I'm not. Give us about three reasons why the act will pass and three reasons why it won't pass. What are the three reasons that will make it pass and what are the three reasons that make it not be able to pass?
Passing, it has bipartisan support. I think that is always something that, the lunatic fringe has trouble overcoming. Number two, the president's going to sign it. So that's important, too, because sometimes you have an executive that may not agree with it. You can pass it and he'll veto it, and you can't override the veto. And, number three, it's got a lot of – despite the people with an agenda out there that want full unionization because they want to be in charge of the union or their agents and they want to be able to just drain every penny. And it's easier to do when you have a union, right? We've seen it. Despite them, I think that, most in college sports believe that it's a lot of common sense and it fits some issues and there's been some compromise. The states that in the SEC and Big Ten that were going to vote against it, probably those senators will come back around. Why it won't pass, number one, politics.
Okay.
You had the Congressional Black Caucus come out against it and, for reasons unrelated to the bill. I mean, for reasons right. like about voting. And that's just, you know, I don't understand it. I could see, I mean, you know, I just don't think you should use something like this on a political issue, right or wrong. You know, I've got my thoughts about voting, and, you know, I don't necessarily think that some of the bill in Congress that requires people to, you know, present 16 different forms of ID or whatever. I mean, that bill, if you read into it, it's not, it lacks common sense. It's a little extreme. So I understand all that. But to make it into a political and racial issue, I think at this point is a little bit ridiculous. And if you read their statement, it's unrelated to the bill. It's just about voting. And I'm like, why are you putting voting on the backs of college sports? That's just stupid. So that would be a reason it wouldn't pass. I think the time frame, because we're running up against an election, you know, that they're trying to get things in at the last minute like they do. You know, I don't understand these people. They sit up there in Washington for months, and then everything has to get done at the last minute. And yeah. So the clock may run out when they come back, you know, and then you never know. I call it the 11th hour, you know. In the 11th hour, you may have some unions or something that throw some money behind a campaign again, or several campaigns against the election season. And these people are not beholden to their constituents. They're beholden to their donors. And so that could move the needle against it. And then a fourth reason is the House. We don't know what the House thinks about this. You know, the House passed something that was never going to pass. And so once you get into the House, there's many more people, many more opinions, many more extreme opinions. It's a very thin margin. You know, that's another caveat. I gave four reasons why it wouldn't, but
well,
Let me ask you this,
Barry. Should Tommy Tuberville have stuck his nose in there more publicly about this, or should he continue to stay out of it?
I don't agree with Tommy Tuberville on a lot. I mean, I'll just be honest with you, and that's strange because I'm pro coach and all that. I think he wants to go back to the way it was because he was good at stacking recruits, and that toothpaste is not going back into the tube. I haven't heard what gubernatorial candidate Tuberville had to say about the most recent compromise. I know he came out against it, but at the beginning. But I don't, should he have stuck his nose in it if he had the right ideas? But I've never gotten the sense that he and this is just my personal opinion, we're on the same page about it. I think you got to just accept reality and then tweak that reality with a common sense measure. And kind of what he was talking about was going way back and kind of applying. And we all do this. We apply what we've been through in life and applying what he would like. And that era of college football is over. And so, I don't know if that would have helped or not. It would have helped, I think, had he, had he probably had some better ideas. How about that?
Yeah. Okay.
JC, Commissioner Sankey sent out a memo to all the SEC teams on Tuesday to follow eligibility rules. So this fifth year of the 2022s, I think he's saying proceed with caution there just because the court may have ruled a guy ineligible. You need to run everything through us first. I get what he's doing. I'm not even saying it's wrong, but these coaches are going to be complaining if they're having to move so slowly. School started or getting ready to start here at Alabama starts on the 19th, so I guess it hasn't started yet. So, but if they let some Big Ten team take some guys that maybe the SEC doesn't let them take, your thoughts about Sankey doing that, and what is the current rule? If it just passed in that state, those guys were eligible. It changes so much. Wow. I stopped looking at it because I don't even know what it is anymore.
You know, the Colorado federal judge issued a nationwide injunction. I thought we had done away with that, but that said anybody that came in the 2022 class, if it's very narrow too, because it says the transfer portal rules still apply, so you can't like get your fifth year and then go someplace else. You know, and what happened at Mississippi State, they have two guys, they're trying to just get it to come back, which I don't think's right. I don't think you should be able to do it right now. I mean, I the state of Mississippi, though, I mean, you know, the whole thing over there is like pointing fingers at everybody else and saying, well, they're doing it. And, you know, at Ole Miss, all the stuff they've done, I mean, Mississippi State's going to sit there and raise Holy Cane if they don't let those two kids play. It's two defensive players, and they need defensive help. But I think that's a good move by Sankey. And it also, what I think, starts to give us a window into if the bill doesn't pass and they go with a conference governance structure, maybe kind of what's going to come out of Birmingham and kind of how they're going to govern it if that happens. But I was happy he did it. I mean, fall camp started, man. You got your team. You've had all year. I get it if everybody else is going to be able to do it, but this ruling, there's a lot of gray area there, and it's a little risky. I mean, I know South Carolina, they were waiting, you know, in football, you know, now basketball's different. Basketball, there could be some additions. In football, they were just like, well, there may or may not be some guys out there, but we're just going to kind of wait and see. And if it comes to pass, it comes to pass. I think most schools are taking that approach, but not Mississippi State. You know, they're in that state where you can just go get a local judge to do anything you want. So we'll see how it all plays out. But I thought that was a smart move by Sankey.
Yeah, this is probably crushing Will Wade. I keep reading reports, and this can't be true. He's only got four guys on scholarship right now on the roster. Wow. I think he keeps thinking, you know, these rules are going to pass. I'm going to be able to go gobble up all these guys because I got all this money. Is LSU really only have four scholarship players in basketball right now?
Well, that are eligible, yeah. I mean, you know, like, okay, so I'm going to use speaking of Mississippi, I'm going to use an example, and I've always said this. So, remember when Hugh Freeze got in trouble for recruiting violations and all that good stuff?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ole Miss had the number five class in the country. And you go through those players they got from out of state. Because getting in-state players at the time for Ole Miss was I mean, they had been doing that for a while. And you kind of look at it. Laquan Treadwell from Illinois, you know, he had a teammate that was a walk-on. So there's a connection there. Robert Condici's brother out of Georgia, his brother played, Denzel played there. So he had a connection to Ole Miss. All the other guys were like in-state, or they were three-star guys from out-of-state. Laramie Tunzel, though, made no sense. My Georgia guy told me, Georgia thought they were getting Tunzel. And they walked into his living room all of a sudden, and they all had Ole Miss gear on. How do you explain that? That kid's from Lake City, Columbia in Florida. How do you explain that? And so my point is what Will Wade did was very brazen. It's not the international guys necessarily. You can finagle your way to get those guys eligible. It's R.J. Lewis that played at St. John that's been a pro, you know? And yeah, he had another year left. I mean, that's brazen. You can't – I mean, that's just – how are you going to get him eligible? I mean, that just totally sticks a middle finger at everything. And I think sometimes when coaches do that and institutions do that, then everything sort of falls apart. Then you're not getting anybody eligible because that just crosses a line. And so when they tried to get that kid, I was like, that's unbelievable. You know, I mean, the international guys that have never been in college, and I get it, you know, that's going to be outlawed if the bill passes. But, you know, this kid's an American. He's St. John's. He was at, I think, Iona with Topino. I mean, really good player, probably just not a pro. There's no legal argument for him to come and be eligible without just getting some homer judge that's, you know, got a oil painting of the Bengal tiger winning a poker game against a pachyderm and a bulldog and a gator. You know, those old oil paintings when the mascots are playing poker.
Yeah.
He's probably got that hanging in his office, you know. And he goes, well, we're going to make you eligible. Go Tigers. Say hey to Coach O for me. Hey, Judge, how you doing? Well, how you doing, Judge? Go Tigers.
You sound just like him.
I know. It's good, isn't it?
That is good. That.
Oh, I can't think of anything else. We've got, for Alabama, we got the controversy of the running game and the controversy of who the quarterback's going to be. To the interest of everybody, just all calls about the, and I know other teams have the same, maybe a little bit of the same problem, but I know when Ray Perkins took the job, I was there when Coach Bryant got out. They've talked about a two-quarterback system. I can't remember if he's for it or against it. But this is, you're around a lot of this stuff. It's kind of interesting to see if Alabama's running game is going to be better. The offensive line's supposed to be better. The quarterbacks are two kids who play differently. Maybe Russell a little bit more wide open, the other kid a little bit more game control. Do you ever hear anything about that at all besides?
I feel like Austin Mack is going to start. I don't know. I know a lot of the national folks like Russell. Josh Pate, though, the other day, who's pretty connected at Bama, he did his SEC quarterback rankings, and he left some leeway there for Mack to start because he had the Bama quarterback ranked sixth and said either one will be sixth.
Wow.
And I just think about the system, and I think about the fact that they want to run the ball, but they, you know, you look at Washington, you look at Bama since he's been there, it's a pass-oriented attack. And at the top of the receiver room at Bama, you've got some dudes. I mean, at running back, I like Daniel Hill. I've always liked him. South Carolina recruited him. Is Daniel Hill going to be able to carry the load? At running back, is the offensive line really fixed? I mean, those are all questions that you have to ask. And then with the line, can you protect Mack? Because then Russell can, you know, Russell has a little more escapability.
Well,
those are big questions, and I don't really know the answer. But I feel like Ryan Grubb and Kalen DeBoer want a quarterback that can run their system.
Because the only thing
it's effective, it works. Yeah.
The only thing I butt in about is that the transfer portal. The transfer portal, you've got a young man who's come all the way from the east, from the top of the West Coast, Mack, and you got another one who's just highly talked about, very, very, very skilled athletically, and the transfer portal sticks there in your nose. That's to me, if I was, I'm just guessing, maybe controversy, the transfer portal would scare me a little bit if Russell didn't start.
Yeah, and you know, he's from Texas, Flip from SMU. Now, Alabama's got some high school quarterbacks they've lined up that are committed that are good. I can't remember. So the last time Bama had, it was that year Jalen Hurts ended up being the starter. Because remember, they started off in Dallas, and who was they? Start Blake Barnett.
They're playing USC. Blake Barnett, yeah. They took him out and put Hurts in because he was a deer in headlights. I think it was in the first quarter.
It was, and then I remember Andrew Zhao and Tyler Watt splitting time. I don't remember who the coach was then. Maybe Shula, Fran. I mean, but I can't remember. I mean, look, I'd play both. I mean, if you could beat East Carolina's not a pushover. I mean, they're better.
No, they're not.
I think they're picked. My daddy used to talk about East Carolina because they play South Carolina all the time. He looked at me one day and said, "Son, they're a hellacious little school," and that's always stuck with me. But that, you know, if you get ahead in that game, you can play both of them. You can play both of them anyway. You're part of your game plan. I wouldn't be surprised to see that. But I think, you know, depending on, you know, if I'm Kalen DeBoer, I'm certainly not smart enough about football to determine what he should do. But I would guess that how much better is this offensive line? Can you protect Austin Mack? If you can, you know, and he runs the system better, that may be the guy. Yeah. If not, maybe you go with Russell. But then I remember, you know, I don't know that they did the best job ever with Jalen Milroe with that type of quarterback. I don't know that that was always comfortable for them.
Yeah.
And Michael, you know, Michael Penix wasn't a runner. Michael Penix was a passer. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens. That's something I'm certainly keeping my eye on. But I think a lot probably will depend on the offense.
But how can the line? How can the line be better? Of course, how could it be worse? But you lost a number one draft pick to Miami, who I thought had slow feet and was overrated. Your other guy transferred to Texas A&M. Your center, who they brought with them from Washington, he's gone. So it's basically a new line and a new line coach. Why?
I'll be honest, man. Man, I looked at the Alabama depth chart the other day on there's a new site called 2deep.com.
It's really
good.
Mm-hmm, it's good.
And man, it's you know, and DeBoer, one of the things he does great is he'll take these guys that are kind of unheralded and they'll play like gangbusters. So it may not matter, but boy, you compare it to the depth chart a couple of years back, and the monsters they had. I mean, because some of the guys they had at the 2-deep played at other schools I'm very familiar with. One played at South Carolina, Desmond Umezulu. And then you got a D tackle from North Carolina in there starting, and you got a kid from Southern Cal. I mean, it on paper, and you don't win and lose games on paper. On paper, it looked like a dramatic drop off. And then the front on defense, you know, I like some of the pieces, but clearly the strength of that defense is in the secondary. Well, okay, that's good, but you know, you got to be good in the front seven in the SEC. So how good are they going to be? I mean, Alabama's got more questions on paper again this year than at any point. If I were a Bama fan, I'd probably be pretty excited about it because for 17 years you had no questions. So this is kind of unique. It's kind of a challenge. But, you know, when you really dig into what they've got, what they're going to go to battle with, you know, I think this is when you're going to find out, you know, Kalen DeBoer and the staff's ability to coach guys up, which they have a track record of doing.
Yeah, we'll see. They're high on Clem. They didn't think the last Coach Cap was – they said he's a good recruiter. He couldn't coach. He didn't know the line. If you're – how hard is it to know the offensive line? Like, if you're only coaching one position, JC, is that difficult to coach one position? I just don't see how coaching's that – is it that complicated in football? Maybe I'm missing something.
I don't know. Adrian Clem's always been kind of a recruiter, too. I mean, I back the days when he was at UCLA, I mean, he's actually coaching the pros and stuff. Though. I mean, he's very well respected. I think he's a good coach. But I see offensive line coaches screwing it up more than they – I'm convinced college level, high school level, I saw it my stepson's team last year. Offensive line coaches overthink things, and it's too complex. I mean, just go hit somebody, man. And you know how hard that position is to play? Nobody ever even talks about you unless you're Caden Proctor and catch a touchdown or if you screw up. And nowadays with kids, I mean, you know, it's all about the clout, right? They never talk about you. You're in an unnatural stance. You get beat up. You got to hit somebody every play. The rules of the game are favor the defensive line totally. You know, you're huge, and you got to move around like a ballerina, all these steps and kicks and stuff. And then, oh, by the way, if one person screws up, all five of you look like butt. I mean, that's a hard position to play. And I think sometimes coaches and offense, I mean, I think guys jump the shark a little bit. This is not the NFL. You do not have to be the Rams on the offensive line. I would like to see high school and college offensive line coaches get back to basics.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, JC, great stuff. I hate you're not from Quincy, Illinois, and that you didn't win the lottery. Hey, we'll have to talk to you again next week. But tell everybody how to find all your stuff.
All right, go to on3.com, you know, on the bigspur.com for Gamecock stuff. Also, BamaOnline.com for Bama. And a new site with my boy Ryan Bartow and my boy Ronnie Sanders, AuburnUndercover.com. Great content there. Ryan himself has been out, practice, lots of Auburn practice scoop, AuburnUndercover.com. Now an independent site. Please go check those guys out.
Thank you, JC.
Thank you.
Thanks,
now. We're going to tell Tuberville you don't agree with him. All right. Tuberville, you don't like Tubbs. Do you agree with Tuberville? Will Tuberville be a good governor?
I think he'll work at it. I don't know. He's a little bit of a con man. I've been around Tommy a lot because of his brain.
Does he have a big ego?
Yeah, somewhat. It's kind of a hidden, a big ego that's hidden a little bit. Yeah. He's got to hide that ego a little bit. But, yeah, he's got a big ego. But he's got one that, you know, is a little bit it's there, but he doesn't show it to you quite as much as you might think he does.
Yeah. So, yeah.
He's you know, he and Pat Dye would go on those trips together, and they would, you know, be some disagreements at times there, but it worked itself out, so...
Nobody's disagreeing with Jimmy on those trips, are they? Nobody's.
No. Jimmy's got the plane.
Jimmy's got to leave you there.
He's got the plane.
Chase, yeah, when you got the money, you got the plane. All they do is tell you yes. Good idea. Good idea.
All right. Man, I'm gonna tell you something. When it all got said and done, if you had a voting contest, Pat Dye won that 10,000 to nothing.
Yeah, well, Pat Dye had Jimmy in his pocket.
He had him in his pocket, is it? Ain't no doubt about that.
Yeah, he had him in his pocket. Like, if he were still coaching, oh, my goodness, the talent.
That's the funny part about that, Barry. I can't remember the player's name. A great player at Abbeville, and Pat Dye went in to try to recruit him for Alabama. And he crossed paths. And somebody's going to call and tell it because I got name problems, as usual. And Pat was recruiting him for Alabama, and Alabama got him. And he was from Abbeville, great player. Somebody called in tell Barry, and that's kind of how they hooked up a little bit. And that actually happened like that.
All right, we'll take the break here. Phone lines, fill them back up. We had them filled up the first hour. We had to get to JC. We always enjoy JC, but dial us back up 205-342-9904. Unfortunately, JC is not in Quincy, Illinois. All right, we want to thank Yellowwood pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Brianna Murrow.
The Dodgers have won 3 straight games.
He swings, hits a high drive left field, way back and gone. Otani with an opposite field blast, and the Dodgers lead it 3-2. 27th home run for Shohei Otani.
AM570 LA Sports on the call. Final score, the Dodgers 4, Royals 2. They got their 3rd straight win. The Twins came back and took down the Orioles 7-5. The Padres walked it off and swept the Brewers 4-3 in extra innings for their 5th straight win. Luis Castillo went 7 innings and had a season-high 10 strikeouts as the White Sox blanked the Reds 5-0. Falcons head coach...
And Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We are moving with a purpose on these Tuscaloosa freeways and side streets now. Coming up here to Northport, I am seeing where you're slowing down pretty considerably on the southbound lanes at Mitt-Larry Road. So do watch out for that. And then coming...
Always no work and all play at Silver Star and Golden Moon Casinos. So come on, leave it all behind and head to Pearl River Resort.
It's 81 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. A dangerous heat wave building across the region here that'll stay with us all the way into late next week. Heat advisory in place here this afternoon. Sunshine, dangerously hot. 96 heat index values around 105 and a light west breeze. Partly cloudy, muggy tonight, low 77. Scorching heat intensifies Thursday and Friday. Sunny skies, 99 tomorrow, near 100 on Friday. Richard DeWedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather. You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium, if it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Back to the second hour of Inside the Locker Room. Before I tell you about Tuscas Toyota, Leroy Cook, one of our great listeners, said was the player from Abbeville that you were trying to remember. Does that ring a bell, Leroy Thanks. Cook?
Sure does. Leroy Cook was a great player.
Yeah, and then also we got an app message from Jay in Athens, and I'm assuming it's Athens, Alabama. Jay was not being nice. He said, with a head like Tommy's, he has to have a big ego. So that's what Jay.
What?
With a head like Tommy's, meaning Tuberville, he has to have a big ego.
Okay, well, I thought maybe he's getting on me about
that. What does that mean? He's got a big head, or what does that mean?
I don't know. He's gotten a lot of money. He's gotten $10,000 from a bunch of companies to run for office. You have to have money to run for office. You can't run for office unless you got money.
And be if you're in Alabama, and also be a Republican.
Yeah, that's right. As long as you side with Trump.
Yeah. Well, if you're a Republican, you're going to probably win. All right. So, of course, our mayor's not a Republican. Tuscaloosa Toyota, go to the website, TuscaloosaToyota.com. They got all the lease deals right there for the trucks, the SUVs, the Camry. If you want to purchase it, they got the deals there for you. You also can look at all the new inventory, the pre-owned inventory, schedule a service. You want to rent a Toyota, Chase? Try it before you buy it. You can rent it right there at the website, or swing by Skyland Boulevard, find Justin and tell him that Wimp and Barry sent you, or David, and tell him that Wimp and Barry sent you. All right, there's an article out this morning, Chase and Dad, and this still blows my mind, and it's a petition from Darius Miles' aunt to let him out of jail, that he has been in there long enough, let him get out on bond. It's been taken its toll on his family, and I tend to agree. This guy did not pull the trigger, and so he's been over in jail now, guys, for over 3 years. So she's got a petition. Now the petition can get you out of jail, but this guy's been sitting over there in jail. I mean, how long? And I don't understand what's holding up the trial and all that, but to have one guy's put away for life now, he has had a trial. This, for Darius Miles to be sitting over there in jail for that long, and his finger wasn't on the trigger? That's tough. That's tough, isn't it? I don't know. What do you think about that?
I really don't have an answer because I don't know. But it's a long time. I had thought maybe that people that came in to recruit against Alabama, especially in basketball, would have used some words that, and I know why I would have if I'd been recruiting against them. You know, to sort of give some thoughts and stuff like that, but. I don't know. I don't know how they. I certainly believe that not for this
kill their kids and all that. I wouldn't take not from him, but from people normally. I wouldn't take away the electric chair myself. I think electric chair is the way to go.
Well, man, I'm talking about this guy should still be sitting over there.
No,
jail
no,
with no, no trial.
No,
I mean,
no,
not, been sitting not, over there for not, 3 years.
Yeah.
Chase, you got any opinion on that? Is the justice, are we that backed up in the justice? Is there some appeal that's holding this thing up? What? No, at some point, like, he's not going to, I think his family is in the police force.
Yeah, they are.
He's not going to run. But to have the guy sitting over there in jail in the Tuscaloosa City Jail for 3 years, and I know people say, well, if that was that was your daughter that got killed, you wouldn't feel that way. But I don't, he didn't pull the trigger. I do know that, or I think they've proven that. I don't know. It just blows my mind.
I agree with you to some extent. I don't know what the answer to that is. It's a big, fat mess.
It is a mess. It just, for all you new students, all you students come back in town, be very careful who you hang around with as you head out, and what they're doing, what their beliefs are, what they take out with them when they go out to the strip or whatever. You are who you're around. And if it just, I don't know, Chase, it will eventually catch up to you if you hang around the wrong people. So
if you show me your friends, I'll show you your future.
That's right. If you show me who your friends are, I'll show you where your future lies. Don't be one of those friends that's bringing the people down. But I guarantee you, Darius Miles wishes he'd never let that guy from Maryland come down here and stay with him. When they were boys from back in the day, sometimes you got to leave your boys back, the ones that aren't doing what you are striving to do. So if they're your boys and they're not doing what they got to do, then the boys got to stay where they are. And when they get their life changed out, they want come around, then you can let them in. All right, that's my lecture. All right, we'll take the break here. The phone lines will be up at 205-342-9904. My good friend Andy Henson, he's with Alabama Pro Wash, and he knows, guys, that you're proud of your property, but the dirt, mold, grime on your brick stucco siding makes even the most well-cared-for home or business seem neglected. Their services include residential and commercial exterior cleaning, low-pressure soft washing, window cleaning, shingle restoration, concrete cleaning, which I really think that's important. Get the driveways, the sidewalks all looking great before football gets started here in about 3 weeks. They have a drone to go get the hard-to-get areas. Call him today, 205-799-9069. Expect quality exterior cleaning service for your home or business when you call Alabama Pro Wash. This is a Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We are moving with a purpose on these roadways right now. Now, slowing down just a skosh here on University in the westbound direction between Crest Ridge Road and Brook Hill Road. Also making your way on Old Birmingham Highway, you do have a bit of a delay, and that's
25 cents. Up to 40% off select tech, 20% off for teachers, and more. Check out all the deals at staples.com/back to school. Staples, that was easy.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Bureau, or visit skilledtradesofwestalabama.com to apply. Skilled Trades of West Alabama. Learn a trade, build a career. Must be 19 to 32 for day trade school.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone.
I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, we're going to recap Alabama's first scrimmage as we march our way toward East Carolina. The first scrimmage will go a lot and decide in many of those competitions. We'll try to provide you the inside. Kalen DeBoer talks following that scrimmage. We'll take that. We'll talk to Rodney Orr, Josh from College Football Nerds, and a lot more starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. A dangerous heat wave building across the region here that'll stay with us all the way into late next week. Heat advisory in place here this afternoon. Sunshine, dangerously hot. 96 heat index values around 105 and a light west breeze. Partly cloudy, muggy tonight, low 77. Scorching heat intensifies Thursday and Friday. Sunny skies, 99 tomorrow, near 100 on Friday. Richard DeWedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 81 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Inside the Locker Room. We'd love to have your phone calls, 205-342-9904. All right. I don't really know how they do it. Somebody does know, please call us, how they organize the scrimmage. Will they go good on good, number one, Dad? Two, will they tackle? I mean, will they tackle them to the ground? I don't mean the quarterback. I think if he takes off, they probably got to touch him. But do you tackle? I mean, you're going to tackle in the games. You better, in my opinion, learn how to tackle, and you better tackle them to the ground. I know you're risking injury when you're scrimmaging if you let them play real football, but I don't know any other way to do it. I mean, injuries happen in sports, and if you don't let them actually – so I don't know how they scrimmage. Everything goes, and the defense can do whatever they want, and it's good on good. Then they play the twos, or do they play the ones against the twos? That's what, when you start hearing how these guys played, you know, they won't probably give you any stats. They may say so-and-so had a long run, he had a touchdown or whatever. But do you have any idea how these guys will actually scrimmage, and would you allow them to tackle? Because you're going to tackle in the games, but you may get a guy injured if you allow them to play real football.
Yeah, that's a great question, and a question I don't have the answer to. I wish I did. I feel like that somewhere along the line, you've got to have a scrimmage where you tackle. And I might have a scrimmage where I tackle, and I might run the third string quarterback, not the first two. And I would be looking at my ability to tackle and my ability to move on the defensive line. And I would not talk about it that much. We're going to go live today. This next 20-minute period is going to be live. And I'd put the quarterback in there that wasn't going to start. that's what I would do. People but that's bad and whatever. You ain't no real answer.
Well, I mean, you put the scout team guy out there and you try to hit him. Guys coming across the middle, obviously you're not going to take his head off. You got to be smart about, but I don't know how they do it. I mean, I know in basketball you throw it up and you play. And those guys, Chase, catch that phone, please. You run your stuff and you run your defenses and you got one guy in charge of one team and one guy in charge of the other team. And Coach Oates is probably in the middle watching. But I'm just curious how they scrimmage at the SEC level. And does every team do it differently? I mean, I've heard where Coach Saban and those guys, I hate to keep bringing him up, but like they have goal line deal and they'd go good on good and everything goes. They were going to build some toughness there. Maybe this guy knows. We'll get to the Yellowwood hotline. Tom, are they playing real football or they got flags on today in the scrimmage?
I would say they're not playing real football based on past information on this staff. But no, I don't believe they hit. But you're right. Coach Saban and them had, what they call run day, and it was all out. Everybody was fair game.
But you don't think they're actually tackling the guys today?
I don't think so. I would be surprised if they are.
Really? So it's like a A-Day game, kind of?
Oh, I don't know about that. I didn't watch A-Day, but I believe the contact's limited. I swear I do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a football coach, and I don't know what's right and what's wrong. I mean, obviously you hate it if you get a guy hurt, but I mean, I would think at some point you got to tackle and play a little football before you get to East Carolina, don't you? How do you know who's winning these positions if you don't?
Based on what I saw last year, the form tackling that we did, especially in the secondary, was not very good. Everybody talked about, I don't forget the kid's name, but he played safety. Oh, he's a big hitter. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. He missed a lot of tackles. And the reason he missed it is because he would run up to the ball carrier. He would see ball, but he wouldn't hit ball. He would stop and break down and wait for the running back to come to him. You can't do that. Not in college. They will go past you every time.
Yeah.
And he missed a bunch of tackles because he didn't run through. When he saw it, he wouldn't run through that ball carrier. That's what you got to do. You can't stop and break down. It was embarrassing.
Yeah. So you don't know how they're going to scrimmage today either then?
Not really.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's what you got to factor in.
I thought it was interesting. I thought JC was very interesting this morning, is analysis of the roster.
Yeah. He's right about that. There's a Twitter account, maybe you sent it to me. It's too deep, and it literally, you can go through, and it'll have the too deep for all the NFL teams, all the SEC teams, Big Ten. It's pretty interesting, and it seems like it's probably pretty right, to be honest with you. So,
well, I tell you, he agreed with it. That's what concerned me.
Yeah.
He looked at it, and he was giving you the information that he got off of the website. He agreed with it, and I go, oh, crap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's pretty good at his analysis. I mean, he is really good at that. And I've been saying that this team is weak, and he come out this morning, he confirmed that on his part.
Yeah. Yeah. What else you got this morning, Tom?
I'm watching FedEx St. Jude's. Are y'all watching it?
No, I'm not. How's it coming? I couldn't get it.
Our guy is one under, and he struggled a little bit with his drive right off the bat, but he corrected it, and he carved him out a birdie there. So
you talking about Jackson?
I'm hoping he did. Bill Cameron say he had to finish in the top 10 to make the next round?
Right now, I'm looking at Jackson's got him one over. Oh, so he's one over for the day. He said he felt like he'd have to play, get in the top 10 to make the top 50. Yes.
Yeah, when I'm that's a good storyline to follow, don't you think?
Yeah. And you got Scheffler and those guys going off this morning.
He's playing
with McElroy. They're going off at 8:30. It should be on ESPN. Is it not on ESPN?
I'm watching it right now.
Yeah.
They just hadn't went back to his score yet. And what they do on TV, if somebody bogeys or gets above par, they won't show them for a while because they don't want them to look bad.
Yeah, right now the leader's at -2, and he's five holes in, finished five holes. So
yeah, I think he's playing with Jackson.
Who's that?
P.I.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, yeah. Cootie? Is it Cootie?
Yeah, him. I think he's playing with Jackson.
Yeah, so. All right, well, it should be interesting.
I think so, too. I hope he makes it. I'm pulling for him.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
All right, this guy will know. All right, back to the Yellowwood hotline. Tony, tell me how they scrimmage. How do you scrimmage in football? Is it a real scrimmage or is it flag?
It's real scrimmage. You've got to be full contact, take the players to the ground. If you're trying to – a scrimmage is trying to simulate a game the best you can. And you can't simulate a game in football without tackling.
But not tackling the quarterback, right?
They'll have a black jersey. Even if he was like an option quarterback, they would still want a black jersey and just put two hands on him. Or you could even thud him and hold him up. And that's what they'll do. They'll scrimmage, Barry, but it should be a kind of an early whistle. So if you hold the running back up, you're not going to allow six or seven guys to hit him. They're going to call it after he's held up for a little bit and probably not allow the first guy to take him down. Let's just
do it. But, I mean, the offensive line is firing off 100%.
Absolutely. Yes.
Good.
Yep.
Good.
And it should be good on good. You try to – that's the way you get your offense a look. You try to – what good is – and that's what made Alabama so unique during the Saban era is because our backups and our scout team were five-star guys too.
Yeah.
So you had iron sharp with iron, and they were practicing against a lot of guys that could have been a starter in the SEC and in other programs. I don't know if we have that now, but that's the way you practice and get your offense better so they don't get a false sense of how good they are.
Well, I think they do this time of year, but as they get into game week, then they'll have a scout team, right? You have a scout team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. When you get in game week, you're pretty much you're polishing what you've already done, what you've already installed.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get it to where you can 100% play against those guys, against their plays and their defensive schematics and stuff like that.
Will they throw the kitchen sink at them defensively? Will they blitz? Will they do different things, change up the coverages, do all the things that make the quarterbacks have to actually read what's going on, or do they go generic?
Most time it's generic at first, and it depends too, Barry. If they have it, do they have it in sections? Do they have the one-on-one then mixed in with some of the twos with the ones on the ones? But generally speaking, you start off kind of slow and get your basics down and kind of your base offense and get your base defense, and then as time goes on, absolutely, you start giving them a look at what teams are going to do, what you think your weaknesses are. That's what you do. You throw it all at them.
Is that in the first scrimmage or the second scrimmage where you start?
I think it'll be in about the second.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we do. We would go the second scrimmage. We would sprinkle something basic in like a basic blitz package. We wouldn't do crazy stuff. We're blitzing the entire, house, but we would blitz a weak side linebacker, Mike, or something like that, just to get him prepared, the quarterback prepared to see what he's actually going to see.
Yeah.
And you got to get the lineman to see it too. The running back's got to block for it, so that's extremely important. But Coach Sanderson's right. Y'all are both right. You're not going to be a good tackling team if you don't practice tackling. So you've got to take the good with the bad. If you don't practice tackling, you're not going to be good at it.
Well, I think we lost that. So as far as and they'll do segments, right? They'll move the ball in different places on the field.
Yep.
Will they do you're down six, and you got 1 minute. You got to do. Yeah. Did they get into that stuff the first? Is that on down the road?
It's down the road. That's kind of what you call a 2 minute offense drill. We call it a fire drill. There's stuff that you'll put the ball on the hash, on one hash, practice the width, practice against the perimeter versus the field. You'll practice, you'll give the DBs a look on how they're supposed to react when the ball's on the wide side of the field on the defensive side. Same thing with the offense. Yes, you'll practice down in distance plays. You know, everybody says, well, they're, you know, it's 3rd and 18. There's not a lot of plays in the playbook for that. You'll put yourself in that position, and you also set up the kicker. You'll start playing for field goals toward the end of the game. You'll go through offenses and stuff like that. But again, a lot of that stuff will come later on. But right now, for this being the first scrimmage, I think they'll get basic fundamentals down. And I'm hoping what I'd like to hear at Alabama is more of a power game. You're trying to establish the run and the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And what you want to hear if you're an Alabama fan, you would like to hear some decent games. But you would also like to see the defense kind of dominate the ball, in my opinion.
Yeah. Do the
That's what you want.
Do the coaches on both sides of the ball, I mean, they want their unit to look good, right? So they're not – if That's you're correct. A defensive guy, I mean, you want your receivers to play well in the game. But in this scrimmage, you want your defensive backs to lock them up. And I've always – you know, when you're scrimmaging against each other – then if one group's doing something good, well, that means the other group's doing something bad. So it's always Correct. Hard to be pleased with the entire football team.
That is right. And Barry, another thing, you'll talk to the OC. The DC may talk to the OC and be like, look, I think we're weak. Let's say I think we're weak on the back end. Y'all need to throw some things on us that may interrupt our zone a zone under and run these specific plays that you know we're weak. And we'll do the same. But what you think we're weak, y'all are weak on, we'll do the same thing. It's the blitz package y'all don't pick up correctly. And they'll do that, and they'll stop it and get it corrected and run through it again. And all this stuff is fake too, Barry. All this stuff is going to be on iPads. They'll be able to get it the minute that play's run, 12 seconds later, they'll have it. And so they'll get to fix this stuff on the fly, which I didn't have the access to when I played, obviously. But – that's a big deal. So they'll get the correct stuff on the fly. But yes, everything you're getting your team prepared for a game-like situation. The only thing that you don't have is the crowd there. You'll even have referees on some of these scrimmages. You know, they should have them there to practice anyway. But it'll be interesting to see because you've got to, again, if he's offensive-minded, which he is, it depends on what kind of offense we're running. But you got to take in the play clock in consideration. You got to take all this stuff comes into play. Getting the calls in and out of the field. Who's going to be running the calls in? Are you doing signals? So all of this comes into play. So you'll be working on that day one, and then we'll start progressing from there, putting in packages for certain teams, and especially packages that give your defense problems, and vice versa for the offense. What I don't know is I don't know the snap count on the goods and the ones and the twos and the threes. I don't know if there's a snap count for those guys, you know, because obviously if you got the offense out there against the starting defense and vice versa, you don't want them to look bad, so you don't stop on a bad play. You don't stop on a bad series. You want to keep going and fix some things that are wrong. So I don't know if there's an automatic snap count to them or not.
I think you keep a snap count in there and be darn sure that defense is doing what they're supposed to be doing off sides and stuff. I think he's talking
about how many snaps the ones run.
Yeah, how many snaps that? Yeah, how many? Yeah, but you're exactly right, Coach. That's another thing. You have to switch that up too. You have to switch snap counts up, silent, to draw them off sides, make sure they're watching the ball. I mean, it's like basketball, guys. But the difference is, like y'all said, the basketball team plays defense too. So start five.
You know, I think you have to be careful. Sometimes you get the ones out there and you say, all right, we know they're good enough. Let's get some other guys in there and look at them. And they don't get enough conditioning in because they don't play as many plays as they're going to play. And, you know, I go out in the afternoons here and the heat is just, it is unbearable It's not in the mornings. It's hot. Don't get me wrong. But I think they got to practice in the afternoon a little bit just to get out there in this heat, because on that turf and all that, I mean, it's going to be like that, Tony. So I think you better work out in these conditions some before school starts. But I don't see them doing it.
Well, you have to too, Barry. You want to put the guys in the situations for an emulated game. And another thing a lot of people don't think about, the rubberized fields, the turf fields that Alabama's going to be playing on. I think Arkansas still has one. I'm not sure if they move back to grass or not. Whoever we play, that adds about 18 to 25 degrees on the playing surface. They need to get out and play on that. If the fans don't know, you can see the heat, the vapor coming off that field.
Yeah.
If you take a knee and look across, you can see it sweltering up like you can on blacktop asphalt. The hottest I've ever been in my life has been on the sidelines of one of those games.
You know the three hottest places in America. You may tell you where they are.
Where?
Tuscaloosa, Houston, and New Orleans.
I was going to say, I knew Louisiana had to be one of them, but yes. Coach, I agree. I was listening to Rather, you know.
Y'all may have never spent time in Columbia, South Carolina now. Whew! He is hot over there.
It seems like it's always 7 or 8 degrees hotter in Tuscaloosa than it is in Birmingham. And I don't know why that is. The other day I was listening, it was 80 degrees. And it said it was 86 degrees on James Spann for Tuscaloosa.
You got Houston, you got all that heat, and you got the worst traffic in America. I hate traffic.
Yeah,
it ain't less in Atlanta. It ain't worse than Atlanta. And all times of the day during in Atlanta, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's you can't even go at 3 a.m. in Atlanta. No. You're going to get stuck somewhere.
It's terrible.
You're right. I would rather have a lot of bad things happen to me than have to go through Atlanta. There, I said. I've lost nothing in Atlanta. I have no desire to go there.
I'll tell you, the terrible traffic is Baton Rouge. Oh, my gosh. And I think since the hurricane.
I'll tell you about the Atlanta Braves. He'll tell you about
Atlanta Braves. Yeah, I'm still waiting on Phillip to get me those tickets. He bragged about this guy getting me his tickets, and I got people salivating over here. Every time he calls me, I think, okay, this is going to be the tickets.
He don't call as much.
And the name flashes up, and it ain't got nothing to do with the tickets. I'm like, Phillip, I need these tickets. So now my people are starting to think that I'm not going to get the tickets, so I'm starting to get...
Here's
what he's going to do to me, Tony. This guy's got these great tickets at the Braves. I mean, the Delta Club, they're going to send them, tell me I can have one during probably one of Alabama's biggest football games. Just tell me, you can have them for that game, and I'm going to have to turn them down. So.
that's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, guys, y'all have a good one, man. Have a good rest of the day.
All right, Tony. Thank you. There you go. He cleared up the scrimmage. He said they're going to tackle him to the ground. We'll see. I don't know if he's right, but he thinks so. All right, let's talk about Bryant Bank, and we'll get the vinegar tip.
Well, there's a couple of banks that I've been to that I don't care for at all, but Bryant Bank's not one of them. Bryant Bank's an outstanding bank as far as being able to help you. If you go in there, if you've got a problem with the money that you put in there, or they take some out or switch some to a little bit, you can have two accounts, business, personal account. You can go in and be sure that people generally will know. If they don't know you, they'll know you the second time in there. And they'll do a good job with you. You'll be able to bank on around the clock anytime that you wish, and you'll know that your money is safe. I think those characteristics that I say every day are characteristics that are big. I guess you say every bank, but I think this one particularly, Bryant Bank does a really good job of handling what you let them handle, and they will handle it, and it'll be safe. So go by Bryant Bank. Tell them you heard Barry now on Inside the Locker Room, and I think that you'll find that the things that I have said about Bryant Bank are really true.
All right, we'll take the break here. Get back, get the vinegar tip brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. This is the Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. More severe delays on McFarland now that your rush to work is beefed up. And this is McFarland on the northwest lanes there at 15th Street. Do watch out for this accident. So it's got traffic pretty slow back to University Mall Circle. And also the intersection of McFarland and Lurline Wallace. Actually, that's not doing too bad. As a matter of fact, that's just pretty much typical slow and go traffic for your stoplight delays. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, Tammy Thomas.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside.
For you, contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127. NorthRiverTimberCO@gmail.com. North River Timber Company.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that. Whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio, you are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Stay locked in, Tide fans. This is Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. More severe delays on McFarland now that your rush to work is beefed up. And this is McFarland on the northwest lanes there at 15th Street. Do watch out for this accident. So it's got traffic pretty slow back to University Mall Circle and also the intersection of McFarland.
It's the Cantina menu, and it's only at Taco Bell. At participating U.S. Taco Bell locations for a limited time only while supplies last.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
G3X foam free CPAP with a 5-year warranty. Call 339-8013 or stop by MedSouth in the Northbrook Plaza on McFarland Boulevard.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that. Whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio, you are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, we're going to recap Alabama's first scrimmage as we march our way toward East Carolina. The first scrimmage will go a lot and decide in many of those competitions. We'll try to provide you the inside. Kalen DeBoer talks following that scrimmage. We'll take that. We'll talk to Rodney Orr, Josh from College Football Nerds, and a lot more starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler, weekdays from 2 to
4. Just go to US Mobile subreddit. Just search for US Mobile and make a decision for yourself. If you're ready, visit usmobile.com.
Consumer Reports does not endorse products or services.
Two-time state champion and two-time NIT champion, Barry Sanderson breaks down the
Sports on Inside the Locker Room on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. That break was so long that we had two birthdays after the time that break was finished. All right, this vinegar tip brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance, 205-752-8500. What is the tip for this Thursday?
Well, this tip is not only for dogs, but it's also for horses. It is not for cats.
Horses? Who has dogs? Horses?
If you got a horse, if you listen to our show and you got a horse, you could probably use this. You got dog. Everybody's got a dog. You don't. You need one. If you got cats, you don't. You're not going to use it. But you spray on or you rub a solution of 1 cup of vinegar, a cup of vinegar, and a quart of water. A quart of water and a cup of vinegar onto the coat of a dog or a horse, and by doing that, they will get a gleaming. Their coat will be gleaming. As also, you'll save the expensive deal of having to buy some products to make the animal a show animal. So, if you'll take the vinegar and the quart of water and rub a good solution over that dog or over that horse, you're going to have everybody loves to show off their dogs. Dog shows are big around here. They're not. I don't guess there's a horse show around here, but there's certainly dog shows. And they say it's not about a cat because it's a little bit too hairy. But anyway, get your coats, get your dogs and your horses. If you got horses and dogs, you're going to have to get a little bit more than 1 cup of vinegar and a quart of water. You're going to have to double that up. It's according to how big a horse is. That's it.
Chase, I never in the world thought we'd have a vinegar tip and talking about horses.
Well, crap, I've been giving this kind of thing for 5 years.
We haven't been doing this vinegar tip for 5 years.
Oh, we have, so. We've been giving this thing every day of the week.
Chase,
instead of saying Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we'll do a burnt vinegar tip every Friday. You put it on me for every cotton picking day.
Horses? You got a horse? If you have a horse, do you have a farm?
You should have one if you have a horse. Yeah. Yeah.
You know who had horses? You know who had horses? Hugh Durham. Yeah. He used to go brush those horses every morning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Hugh Durham had a lot of stuff. He had a Georgia shirt he gave you. Had been 10 years old.
He gave me a pair of sweatpants, Chase. He gave me a pair of sweatpants that a 7'2" guy wore. He said, "Hey Barry, I had a manager put some sweatpants in your locker." I go in there, those things. 7'2", the guy was, and I got his sweatpants. This is at University of Georgia. Like, we're saving money.
They got money now because they got a big football
team. He gave me a coaching shirt. You know how when you wash it too many times, Chase, the collar kind of turns up? The collars were all turned up on the coaching shirts. Pitiful. All right. Well, that's it for today's show. We got Roman Harper tomorrow, right?
Roman Harper would be good. I have on them plaid socks.
There you go. All right. We're going to get out. Remember now, tomorrow, 11 o'clock, Chase, the Sandlot Sports Bar opens. They got dark wood rails and the leather seats under the wall of screens. And, man, they got some screens over at the Sandlot. The Sandlot is what happens when a sports bar refuses to cut corners. It's got a scratch kitchen, serious draft lineup in every seat with a view of a TV, which I love that. And when it gets night, they turn the lights down. They got an area you can go upstairs for the cocktail collection. So tomorrow is the day. Where is it? It's on University Boulevard. Here's the best way I can tell you to get there. It is right up from De Palma's. Everybody knows where De Palma's is. Walk towards Embassy Suites, and you'll see it right there on the right. And what a great place this is going to be to go watch the games. They said even during the week, if there's no games, they may be playing some movies over there. We'll find out, Chase, when they're playing Sandlot. I'll take you over there and feed you. That's it for today's show. The Gary Harris Show is next, so keep it locked in. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM, WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great day, everybody. Bye.